Kazoo Fest 2017 is coming up fast. It's taking place April 5th to the 9th and features authors, dancers, artists, and many incredible musicians including Weaves, The Constantines, Bernice, Bridget Bardot, Casper Skulls, Jesse Lanza, John Southworth, and so much more. Kazoo will be turning downtown Guelph into an independent arts wonderland. And don't forget to check out the Kazoo Fest Print Expo happening on Saturday, April 8th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Mitchell Hall to pick up works from your favorite artists and zinesters. For details including a full schedule, accessibility info, and ticket information, visit kazookazoo.ca. That's Kazoo Fest 2017 happening April 5th to the 9th in various downtown Guelph locations. Kazoo Fest is made possible with support from the Ontario Arts Council, the Department of Canadian Heritage, Ed Video, the City of Guelph, CFRU 93.3 FM, Ampersand, and Wellington Brewery.
All right, you're tuned in to CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. This is another one of those fantastic Kazoo podcasts that I know you've all been tuning into. I am Hymns 57, host of Friday Night Oral Tethers, Leading Your Ears Astray. And for this podcast, I'm excited and honored to bring an interview to the table with none other than Rourke Menzies, who's a New York City-based artist and composer who uses his voice, mouth, and body as sound sources, along with audio hardware, software, and field recordings to create electronic and electroacoustic works. You will be able to catch Rourke as part of the 2017 Kazoo Fest. It will be happening on the Saturday. What's the date there for that? I'm already going to have to do an edit. Ha ha.
It's April 8th.
April the 8th. Thanks, man. He's here already. Rourke's already in the house. Saturday, April the 8th, it's happening at the Kazoo headquarters, which is 127 Woolwich Street. It is a physically accessible location. It is an all-ages and licensed show. It's pay what you can. This lineup, I'm beyond stoked for, and if you're a fan of the Oral Tether show, this is right up your alley too. Opening things up at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Toronto's Hexzool. At two, we have Zuan Ye. At 3 o'clock, we got our boy Rourke Menzies, and at 4 o'clock, Toronto's Bridget Bardot. This is going to be one heck of a great show. It's Kazoo Fest. It's put on by Ed Video and Channel. Really, really excited for this. So we got Rourke on the phone. How you doing, Rourke?
I'm good. Yeah, doing really well.
Nice, man.
Yeah, I mean, all things considered.
So, you are a West Coast Canadian cat, yeah?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I was born in Vancouver. I grew up, on the West Coast for the most part. Vancouver is definitely a place that I self-identify with pretty strongly. And I've also spent, a fair amount of time, particularly growing up, like in the islands, off the coast of that part of the world. But yeah, West Coast for sure.
Nice. So you, as you were growing up, I guess you and your family moved around a bit?
We did, yeah. I mean, the story goes basically my parents met in grad school. They went to York University, or close to your neck of the woods.
Right.
And my brother was born in Toronto. And when I was a kid, basically the two of them, they met in like a program for voice. Kind of a theater sensibility, so, and for sort of voice professionals in general, singers, lecturers, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was like a young kid, they were, making the transition from being theater artists professionally to kind of academia. And so, anyone who like has worked in academia or knows people well enough who do know that, be a little trying. So it's like, year after year, they would take on different, a 1 year contract, like over in this college town in this part of Canada, or like an adjunct thing here, or like an associate professor thing here, et cetera. And so, that was kind of like part of the reason we wound up living, to name a few, in Windsor, Ontario, Stratford, Halifax, Nova Scotia,
Wow.
Different places, growing up. So, it was almost, for a little while there, it was, every year we would move again. That was when I was, before I had turned, seven. we'd lived in a half dozen places at least. So
Crazy. Now, so how did you end up navigating and kind of centering yourself in New York?
Picking up right there, basically my family, we all immigrated to the States. We moved initially to Santa Monica, California, which is basically one of the municipalities in LA. So
Yeah.
because my dad got a pretty killer job at the University of Southern California,
Oh, great.
teaching there. Yeah, so that's kind of what brought us down initially. And I've lived in the States since then. I've spent a lot of time visiting Canada, where I still have just huge amounts of family all over the place.
Right.
I had a small bout in Portland. I actually went to high school there and had some formative years in Portland, Oregon. Still have a lot of people I consider family there. And it was basically shortly after high school, I was interested in making music, and particularly in independent music and in sort of positioning myself to have, full creative control and, potentially run, start a label and sort of be able to release my own music and all that sort of thing. So the place that really excited me the most, at that time, and I guess still, was New York. So I kind of just, it was actually almost on a, it had been in the back of my mind for a long time. And, when I was a teenager, not long after high school, I just decided to come out here. And I was in love with this woman who was living here at the time. So that was a huge catalyst. And yeah, that's kind of what got me out here.
Right.
Just booked a one-way ticket.
Wow.
And I've been here ever since, and it's been, there's a little ups and downs and stuff like that, and sometimes it can be like a love-hate relationship with New York, no question.
For sure, for sure.
But yeah, things are going really well for me these days, and I'm super just really grateful to be able to do what I'm doing.
It definitely seems like things are going good for you. So hats off to you. I mean,
Thank you.
I've been aware of you and your work for, I would say maybe a year now at best. But
Oh,
in the last couple of months, the sources that I'm using to look for new music to share with people in my day-to-day life, and especially on the Oral Tether show, your name has been popping up so
cool.
much that I thought I gotta reach out, I gotta say something, I gotta try to befriend this guy. And then the kazoo thing happens, which is crazy excited. I love that you're coming and playing in my backyard. This is
That's awesome.
fantastic. I'm curious with you. You've got a nice, handsome discography up there on your Bandcamp page, Rourke Menzies Bandcamp. You've got the 2015 release Shapes, which is an EP. And then in 2016, you released Corporeal. And also, I think later in 2016, you released Apparatus Revisited. And now there's something new in the works. We've been chatting a little bit the last couple of weeks, and you've been teasing to me that there's something new. There's something new.
I was working on I'm in basically the final 1% of finishing this project that has been in the works for a little bit. And yeah, some people finishing things is really uniquely hard, as everyone knows. But yeah, I was working today even on I'm in the mastering phase now, which is tricky. And yeah, so the album, I'm very, very excited about it. I'm going to be releasing it later this spring, probably in late May. It's called Breath's Length. And
Nice.
yeah, the title track is kind of inspired by this idea that I read about from, well, it's in this Steve Reich's program note for his piece, Music for 18 Musicians, which is of course very, very famous and influential work.
Yeah, I know it well.
Yeah, totally. As well as he also mentions the same idea in the program note for Music for Large Ensemble. And it's basically so the title track on this album, Breath's Length, takes as a point of departure this notion that he talks about of, quote, like using the human breath as the measure for musical duration. So I guess the way it played out is in pieces like Music for 18 Musicians, there's like percussive instruments and like piano and things like that that were written to, like the rhythm parts were written to, you know, notes on a staff, just like most rhythm parts for that kind of music are. Mm-hmm. Whereas I guess apparently rather than using measures, I mean, I've never seen the score, so I don't know exactly what it's like, but this is just what I imagine. But the measures for the woodwinds and the voice parts were for just whatever duration the performers could comfortably hold the note for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was something that I learned about like a number of years ago. I think it was like in 2009 when I first like devised this work, and it's something that I've been meaning to come back to and sort of like quote finish. Mm-hmm. Although the nature of this work is kind of like always an in progress thing, like this piece in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally kind of made a recording of it that I'm really, really happy with. And so thematically, it's also kind of exploring this notion of, because in the piece, I'm sort of looping and layering my voice in a way that kind of extends the length of my breath, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
At least from a poetic standpoint, metaphorically, but using the recorded held note of my voice as a metaphor for sort of extending the length. And so not just talking about like the length that I can hold one breath, but then sort of like by poetic extension also extending like the length of time one has left to breathe, like as in like be alive and so on. And so with the work, sort of the themes that I'm looking at and kind of a lot of the central themes of the album kind of deal with or kind of like look at kind of like the end of life and mortality and all these ways in which whether it's through technology or whether it's through trying to like create mementos or through accomplishments or various, you know, efforts while alive, we as humans, you know, often try to sort of like extend our identities like beyond the grave or whatnot. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. There's are you familiar with the artist and author David Toop?
Oh yeah, the pianist, right? Is that the same?
Yeah, Toop. He does play piano. He's written a handful of great books on the history of ambient and experimental music. He's done a lot of lovely albums on his own. That's definitely a theme that he's dealt with often. And
cool.
I definitely feel drawn back to it again and again and again. There's something, as much as it maybe seems like a darker theme, it's not, which I find really interesting sometimes. Like this, I should feel more sad about this, but
yeah,
it's hauntingly calm.
Mm.
And it's the whole theme of it. I think when it's done in a particular way, it's so soothing. And I think with the way that you're approaching it and using the human breath, without sounding corny about it, I mean, I think it's, you sent me the one track, and I mean, I just kind of sat back and played it two or three times back to back, and I mean, like, what a breath of fresh air, like.
No pun intended.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's no other way to really kind of say it. I mean, as soon as I got into your stuff, I thought, man, David Toop and Rourke have got to be buddies at some point. Like,
oh, cool.
This is there's I see too many awesome ties. The one thing that I'm also really curious on, as I've been kind of stalking you through magazines and online, what was it? There was one article that I was reading where they were talking with you, and I guess you mic the room with contact mics, and you deal with the sound vibration that's occurring in the room while you're performing. Am I getting this right?
Yeah, so that's at least it started as a specific project that I did. I realized it for the first time at this event called Spring Break Art Show here in New York. It's kind of an annual thing, and it happens around the same time as like the Armory Arts Week here, where I don't know, there's just all these different art shows and so on happening. And by coincidence, that's actually where I first met Brett Despotovich, who
Is putting on the
he's the
kazoo
one.
show. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. That's this project. I call that piece Permeate Permutate. And what I do for that is I use both these things called transducers or transducer speakers or sound exciters. I'm never quite sure exactly what they should be called, but they go by various, you know, there's variations on a theme with what they're called. And for those who don't know, what those are basically is similar components to what you find in a regular loudspeaker that we're all familiar with. But they don't have like the diaphragm or the cone or whatnot, the thing that actually makes the air molecules vibrate. So for instance, like if you are sending signal to one of these things, it makes a sound that I sort of compare it to if you're playing vinyl on a turntable, but the amplifier and speaker aren't on. So you're just hearing like the unamplified sound of the disc in the room, but it's like almost inaudible,
Yeah, it's
depending on
really
how you're,
faint.
depending on how good your hearing is or whatnot. And so what my interest is in using those things is, in ways like an extension of what I'm doing, well, and literally an extension of what I'm doing with the technology already, where like in spring break, I think I had three of them or something like that, and some of them, first of all, the venue where spring break was last year when I performed there was this old decrepit office building essentially, and it, you know, these offices hadn't been used in at least a decade or two, and we're in various stages of decay. And so I was really interested in engaging with the architecture directly because it was, you know, such a peculiar place to be performing and so on. So I put these transducers on like different tiles of the old, you know, falling apart drop ceiling in the room. And in the ventilation, like on the metal ventilation shaft, and somewhere else as well, so you know, I would be essentially doing what I do when I improvise sets, where I would vocalize into the microphone, run it into what I sort of call my central nervous system, which is the series of guitar pedals and loop stations and the mixing board that I use at almost any time I perform these days. And I would kind of get, you know, this sort of body of sound happening, and then you know, split the signal essentially and have some of it coming through the, you know, normal PA system or loudspeakers that you know, you use in any show. And then send, you know, other versions of the signal and in fact isolate the signal to say, you know, one tile in the drop tile ceiling that's like on the other side of the room behind where all the people in the space are gathered. And suddenly it's like, oh, there's this isolated sound source, you know, behind us. And it's like the way the transducers work is, depending on, you know, the material qualities of whatever you have it stuck to, like whether it's cardboard or
A window.
or glass or drywall or poster foam or whatever it is. Not only depending on the size and shape of the object, but also like the sort of internal like material structure of it, like the density and the sort of like molecular structure of the material, it's going to yield, like it's going to make a radically different sound. It's going to sort of like, it's almost as, it's like a plug-in in a way. Like suddenly you have this thing and it's like processing almost your sound, but it's in a completely, it's in a completely acoustic or organic way.
That's so wild.
And so that's one level of it. And then the other thing that I would be doing in that project is connecting also to the same material, like the dropped ceiling tile or the ventilation shaft, like a little contact mic. And then I would, when I would send by signal, you would hear it acoustically in the room over there. And then I would kind of like reincorporate that signal into my, quote, central nervous system with the mixing board and all that sort of stuff. And kind of like activate the entire space, like activate not only the cavity of the room that we're in, but also like the ceiling, the walls, the vent, all this sort of thing. And it's as if the like my body, the electronics I'm using, the transducer and the material that it's attached to, and like all the bodies of the audience in the space are suddenly incorporated like into one corporeal thing, this like weird sort of organism of sorts. And so it's all kind of like, oh, and then I should mention also that kind of the way that I would conclude that piece is to once I've sent this sort of these versions and looped and layered versions of my voice into different materials of the room and all this sort of thing, and allowed them to kind of transform and be changed. And have, just in the same way that my voice is transforming and changing the materials that it's, activating and exciting, also the materials are changing my voice and so on, or at least those copies of my voice that I've sent.
Oh man.
So I would then return that signal back to my body, using, like a talk box. So it's like talk box, the talk box is actually like oddly similar to the transducer technology in that it's essentially like a speaker in this little box, but again, there's no cone, there's no diaphragm, and the talk box like only sends the signal in through this like plastic like PVC tube essentially, and you put it in your mouth, and your mouth essentially is acting like a filter that's like modulating the signal, but completely acoustically again. So it's like, I'm basically like returning this voice that I've sent out there and all this sort of stuff. It's been changed by the room, it's been transformed and brought back, and now it's kind of like echoing back into like my body cavity that originally produced it. You know what I mean?
Okay, that's insane. That's insane. In like the most lovely way. Like I this is why everybody should be completely beside themselves that Rourke Menzies is coming to Guelph. This is why. Absolutely insane. So on that note, what can people expect when you come to play Kazoo in just a few short weeks?
Man.
What do you have in store? Do you have anything kind of prepped or planned out? I mean, I don't know if you've even seen the space that you're playing in before. And I mean, I kind of get a vibe that that's maybe an integral part of your live setup is kind of scoping out the space first.
Yeah, I haven't decided. I think I'll probably bring the transducers. I'll bring my little kit for that, just in case, just to see if in the moment there's like, oh my gosh, I want to put one on this or whatever. But I'll see if it feels appropriate to do that once I know more about the context. But the main thing is I'm gonna be airing out for one of the first times this new material that I've been working on, that's related to what's on this new
Oh,
album.
stellar. Right on.
So I'll probably be performing that title piece, Breath's Length, if it feels right. And there's another piece on it that I call Elegy that I'll definitely be playing.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't know what to expect.
fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And you also, you've got, you and Brett, or I guess Brett's working on a compilation, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
And you're going to have some music featured on the new compilation too. Can you dig into that a little bit?
Definitely. So what it is just basically all the people who are playing on that particular bill in Guelph, you know, for the Kazoo Fest particular day that's produced by Channel, which is Brett's outfit. He's asked us all to just put together a new track, and so it's you know, Brett, Chouanier, Brigitte Bardot, Hexul, and myself, and we all just, like, put them all together for the first time, and it's been really awesome to hear what everyone's done for it.
Awesome.
I think it's a really special group of tracks and so on. So, I know Brett's planning on putting those on cassette in prep for Kazoo Fest.
Oh, right on.
And yeah, I'm really stoked about the piece that I put together for it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Super great. Do you have any other upcoming touring plans outside of coming up here to play for Kazoo?
I do. Well, that same weekend, on Sunday, the 9th of April, I'm going to be performing in Toronto at the Steady. Actually, everyone who's on the Kazoo bill is all going to be also playing Channel Presents at the Steady.
Oh, cool.
So stoked to do that. And then I do have some more touring coming up. I'm still kind of like nailing down my New York record release date, which will be, again, probably like late May. And then in the first 2 weeks of June, I already kind of have planned, although some of it's a little to be confirmed, some West Coast touring. So I'm going to be playing like in Los Angeles, Santa Cruz, Oakland, Portland, Seattle, and possibly additional cities.
Oh, right.
I'm working to get the Vancouver date nailed down, which would be really awesome.
Cool.
There's such a great scene in Vancouver, obviously. So.
Yeah, it's actually pretty awesome. I feel like the East and West Coast of Canada have got really awesome experimental scene happening on both ends, which is super rad.
Yeah.
Super rad. Cool. Well, thank you so much for taking the time, Rourke. Really appreciate it. We're definitely looking forward to having you come to Guelph to play the 2017 Kazoo Fest April 8th. You will be playing at the Kazoo headquarters. Again, that's 127 Woolwich Street. It is a physically accessible location. It is all ages and a licensed show. It is pay what you can. It's Ed Video and Channel Present, Hexul at 1 p.m., Chouanier at 2 p.m., Rourke Menzies at 3 p.m., and Brigitte Bardot at 4 p.m. For those of you that are a fan of the Oral Tethers show, you do not want to miss this show. I cannot stress this enough. I'm giddy with excitement for this. I'm beyond stoked. Thanks again for taking the time, Rourke. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Yeah, pleasure to be on.
Cheers.
Thank you. Thank you.